Hello, and welcome to GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com. My name is Mike Simpson, and in today's show, we're going to discuss some advanced methods of using deployment descriptors in JBoss. To learn more about me and my background, be sure to check out my GoGo profile. If you have any questions that you'd like to ask me, please use the question and comment box located below. All right, let's get started. JBoss offers the capability to create services through the @service annotation or through the jboss.xml deployment descriptor. Services that we create in this manner are singleton beans, and they're not pooled. Service beans can expose both local and remote interfaces, so they can be accessed from Java clients. When different clients access the interfaces for service beans, all clients will be accessing the same instance on the server. The implementing class is specified by the ejb-class tag. Local and remote interfaces are specified with the local and remote tags, respectively. And Java Naming and Directory Interface, or JNDI, bindings are specified through the JNDI-name and the local-JNDI-name tags. A service bean can also implement a management interface. The management interface wraps the mbean and installs the service as an mbean on the mbean server. One advantage of doing that is that you can then bring it up using the JMX management console. The management interface is specified by the management tag. The management interface can then support the standard lifecycle management of JBoss JMX. When deployed, the bean is assigned a JMX object name in the mbean server. Now, the object name may be explicitly set with the object-name tag. Now, the default name for that will be jboss.j2ee colon service equals ejb3 comma name equals, and then whatever your fully qualified name of the service bean is, comma, type equals service. So if you don't set the object name, that's what it's going to show up as. Let's suppose, for example, that you have a real simple remote interface, such as something like public interface service 6 remote, and all it's got is a Boolean get called, avoid set called, and avoid remote method. And then it's got a corresponding local interface, like public interface service 6 local, which of course is going to have a Boolean get called and avoid set called, with a Boolean called as its argument, and avoid local method. In order to manage this bean, you're going to have a management interface, and it's going to have the standard create and start and stop and destroy behaviors, and it's going to have accessor and mutator methods, and it's going to have some string JMX operations, get attribute, set attribute, get other attributes, standard things. Naturally, all three of these interfaces are going to be implemented in a single service bean class. So there's going to be some public class called service 6. And that public class service 6 is going to implement service 6 local, and it's going to implement service 6 remote, and it's going to implement service 6 management. Given all of that as setup, how do we configure jboss.xml? Well, we start with the JBoss tag, of course. Next will come the enterprise-beans tag. Since we're creating a service, we're going to open up a service tag as well. Now, we're going to be nesting 6 additional tags inside the service tag before we close up that service tag, so hang on. The first tag that we're going to nest inside service is going to be ejb-class. That tag is going to contain the fully qualified name of our stateless service bean. So it's going to be something like org.jboss.ejb3.test.service.service6. That's a fully qualified name of the stateless service bean. We close up that tag. Then the second tag is going to be the local tag. And that will be the fully qualified name of the local interface. org.jboss.ejb3.test.service.service6local. And then we're going to close up that tag as well before proceeding. Then the third tag will be the remote tag. That will be the fully qualified name of the remote interface of the stateless service bean, org.jboss.ejb3.test.service.service6remote. And we close that tag. The fourth tag is the management tag. That's the fully qualified name of the management interface of the stateless session bean. That's the interface that our JBoss JMX management console is going to use to hook up to. So anything that we want to expose to the management interface has to be in this interface. And that's going to be the interface that's org.jboss.ejb3.test.service.service6management. The fifth tag, the JNDI-name tag, has the JNDI name of the remote interface. That's service6/remote. And the sixth and final tag for the service is the local-JNDI-name tag. That's the JNDI name of the local interface, service6/local. We then close this tag, and now we can close the service tag, because we've got the EJB class, the local, the remote, the management, the JNDI name, and the local JNDI name. All six of those, now we can close the service tag. And then we can open up another service tag, or we can do more with enterprise beans. But we've got to get all six of those tags there before we get the service tag. Now, let's talk about using deployment descriptors to create persistent message queues, message producers, and message consumers. JBoss's default behavior when a messaging queue is needed and is not found at deployment time is to create a dynamic temporary queue. But if we create that dynamic temporary queue, obviously it's not going to survive a JBoss restart. JBoss offers the capability of creating message producers and consumers through the @producer and @consumer annotations. But we can also create message producers and consumers through the jboss.xml deployment descriptor. If we're going to do it through the deployment descriptor, that consumer class will be specified using the consumer tag and through the ejb-class tags. The destination and the destination type are specified using the destination and destination-type tags. The producer interface will be specified by the producer tag. Messages are created and sent to the configured destination when we call one of the producer methods. A consumer is configured to listen on a destination. When a message arrives, the current message is sent to the implementing consumer bean based upon whatever the current message is tagged. To help make that straightforward, let's say we have a simple two-method public interface. We're going to call that public interface deployment descriptor queue test remote. And it's got two methods. One's called method one, taking a string and an integer, and one's called method two, taking a string and a float. You got a simple class that implements that interface. The class is deployment descriptor queue test consumer, and that implements the queue test remote. So now, what does the deployment descriptor look like that's going to handle that? Since this is going to be a consumer/producer example, we go to the enterprise beans portion, once again, of jboss.xml. We open up a consumer tag because we're going to be specifying an object that's going to consume message to a queue. Now, in our previous example, we opened up a tag and then we had six tags nested inside it. Now, when we open up our consumer tag, there will be seven tags nested inside this consumer tag before it's finally closed. The first tag that we're going to nest inside the consumer tag is going to be the ejb-name tag. And that will specify the ejb name of our consumer object. Then the second tag is going to be the ejb-class tag. And that will be the fully qualified class of the consumer object. For example, org.jboss.ejb3.test.consumer.deployment-descriptor-queue-test-consumer. That's a fully qualified class there. And we close that one. The third tag is the destination tag, and that's going to be the JNDI name of the queue that we're going to create, such as queue/consumer test. Remember, the idea here is we're going to be creating a persistent queue. Then the fourth tag, which is the destination type tag, is specifying the destination type. And since this is going to be a Java messaging queue, this should be something like javax.jms.capitalQQ. And we close that tag before proceeding. The fifth tag, which is the producer tag, specifies the fully qualified producer class. And that'll be something like org.jboss.ejb3.test.consumer.deployment-descriptor-queue-test-producer. The sixth tag is the current message tag. And that's going to specify what the method is that we're going to set. Each occurrence of the method tag nests an instance of the method name tag. The first occurrence of the method name tag contains the value current message to indicate what the current message is being set to. And then the second occurrence of the method name tag contains the value set message. We then close the current message tag before proceeding. And the seventh and final tag, which is the message properties tag, provides properties or attributes for the current message. We need to indicate both which message should be placed on the queue, so we open up another method tag inside message properties and nest a method name tag inside that to accomplish the task. We also need to specify whether the message to be delivered should be a persistent or non-persistent method. Remember, we just said that the queue itself was going to be durable, but we didn't say whether or not the messages that are on the queue should be durable. So after we close the method name tag and the method tags, we open up a delivery tag. We specify either persistent or non-persistent, and then we close the delivery tag because we want to indicate whether or not the messages themselves should be durable. And then we close the message properties tag. Now that we've done that, we've configured our consumer, and now we can close up the consumer tag. Now, beans in EJB3 can be specified via source code annotations and or a deployment descriptor. Now, the deployment descriptors can augment or override the source code annotations. Now, the annotations that specify the bean itself, such as stateless, stateful, message-driven, service, or consumer, they cannot be overwritten. But the actual EJB.jar.xml deployment descriptor DTD specifies that the most of the tags are optional in order to support annotation augmentation and overrides. So you'll probably want to take a look at that EJB.jar.xml document type definition itself. The deployment descriptor does not need to specify all of the required information. It just needs to specify any additional information that overrides or augments the source code annotations. And as pointed out before, most of the tags are optional. They support the annotations, but if they don't have them there, it'll go just fine. I hope that you've enjoyed today's presentation. If you have any questions or if you have any comments, please use the question and comment box that's located below. If you're interested in viewing my other shows, just search the GoGo Radio Archives for my name, Mike Simpson. If there's a show that you would like for me to do, you can let me know by using the question and comment box. Thank you again for your time today, and remember to tune into GoGo Radio, found exclusively on GoGo.com.